Straight Talk on WRHI FM 100.1 and CN2 is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Piedmont Medical Center is with us today, a community built on care, and you can find out more about them online at piedmontmedicalcenter.com. Well, we're very pleased to have with us for her annual assessment, for her annual fitness report, Kelly Cox, who is the superintendent of the York School District, and we promise that we'll submit this report to the board for your evaluation, and they'll give you a pay increase.
Oh, sounds fabulous.
So, welcome, and thanks for coming down. School is underway.
It is.
And before we get into that, I want you to kind of reintroduce yourself to our listeners, because we've had a lot of growth in population in the last year since you've been here.
Absolutely. Well, I'm Kelly Cox. I'm superintendent over in York School District 1. Came superintendent back in January of 2019. I enjoy the role that I am, and I'm very proud and honored to get to serve in a district that truly does put the needs of our kids first.
Good for you. Now, the district, just so people understand, we got four school districts in York County. You are the smallest of the four?
Well, we're the largest landmass, but smallest in population and assessed value.
Exactly the opposite of the Fort Mill School District.
Exactly the opposite.
And that's something.
Right.
And you operate, how many students roughly?
We have about 5,000 students.
5,000 students.
Yeah.
And growing, and we're
going to
get into that.
Yeah.
We're going to get into that. And you operate how many schools?
We have 9 schools in a program. We have a York One Academy that stands alone.
Okay, good. So... I'm not sure I ever thought we were going to have this discussion, but we are having it. As you and I were chatting before we got started, when the growth started hitting York County, it first clobbered Fort Mill, then it came down here to Rock Hill, and all those who knew about how this stuff would work predicted, rightfully so, that it would push west and push south. And now you're beginning to see it?
We are. We are very much beginning to see it. If you take a ride through our community, through our attendance zone, you will see land being moved on every corner. A lot of residential developments, single-family homes, townhomes that are coming. The majority of the growth is happening within the city of York. However, we are seeing it in the county as well. We have two schools that are at 90% capacity or higher, one of our elementary schools and our middle school, and then we have several other schools that are at 80% capacity. We saw this coming. The board saw it coming as we began to look at the growth that was scheduled to come into the city. So we worked to try to get an impact fee, trying to help the taxpayers and offset the cost of construction of a new school. Unfortunately, we were not successful with getting support through a county council at the time. So we're in a position now where we are going for a bond referendum this November.
So since that was turned down by the county council, and that was what, 6 months ago?
It's a little longer now.
Have you had a chance to revisit with any of the council members why they have granted this, you know, for Fort Mill?
Well, so we haven't spoken to them formally. I have had some informal conversations with some of them, and they have certainly encouraged us that we could come back and try again. As you know, there was some change among who serves on county council. However, with it taking 3 years to build a school and two of our schools now at 90%, we know that time is of the essence. So we're going to go ahead for this bond referendum at this point. We're looking, we're asking for $90 million. We really need an elementary school and a middle school, and 90 won't build two schools. We want to go slow.
Right.
We want to earn the trust of the taxpayers. We want to do what we say we're going to do. So we are trying with this bond, if it is approved, to build a new middle school and then to renovate an existing building that we have and turn it into an early childhood center. By doing so, we could move our elementary programs, our early childhood programmings, our three-year-olds and four-year-olds out of the elementary schools and into this early childhood center, thus creating capacity at the elementary schools too.
And again, just reflecting upon what we were talking about before the show, when you drive by all those new homes that are going up, which is 3,000 plus whatever's come online since the moratorium was lifted, let's say it's a total of 4,000 homes, that would have been a lot of cash sitting in an account that you could have put towards this bond referendum, and it might have been significantly less than this $90 million.
It would have definitely lowered the amount that we were seeking in a referendum. That is for sure. The way impact fees are structured, though, once the permit for the home has been pulled, it's off the table.
That's right.
We've missed the opportunity to realize the greatest amount of benefit.
I would like to think that some of the members of the county council who voted against this a year or so ago are saying, maybe we should have done it the other way, because all of a sudden, boom, you're in a position where you have to have some schools, some buildings, and that's just going to come 100% off the taxpayer's hip rather than being shared by those who have elected to live in New York. Okay, be it as it may, that's where we are. So have you got a feel on the sentiment of the voters in York as to whether they're going to go for this?
Interestingly enough, we have been receiving comments from a lot of our families. When are you going to do something? Before the board made the decision to approve the resolution. People see it. It's impossible to drive through the town, through our area, through our attendance zone, and not see all of these new homes. That is one advantage to the timing of this referendum. It's very much tied to the visual of houses coming out of the ground. There's no denying what's happening. We also try to keep a standardized class ratio in our buildings. And parents are very used to that. You know, they like their students to not have overcrowded classrooms. At one point in time, every school in the district had a portable around it, some of them more than one portable. And the district was able to move beyond that to get rid of the portables when they did the last referendum. And I don't think anyone wants to see their child have to go back to that. As you know, since the board has passed the resolution, we have moved from the ability to advocate for this referendum to simply fact sharing. So our goal at this point is to get the facts out, make sure people understand what they're voting for, if they vote for it, what they would get and what it would cost them as taxpayers, and then what could happen if they don't. We're just trying to spread facts, not misinformation, so that people can exercise their right to vote.
So do you have a citizens committee?
We do.
All right.
We do. We have a bond referendum committee. They are called Yes for York Schools, and they are putting together their campaign, their yard signs, their social media presence, and they're our advocacy arm.
Okay. Who's the chair? Do they have a chair yet?
Yeah, they do. Julie Schillinglaw is the chair.
Okay. We're going to have to get Julie on here.
Oh, she'd be fabulous.
All right. And they're off and running.
They're off and running. In fact, they meet again tonight.
Ah, tell her we're looking for her.
I will tell her.
Okay. So this is going to be on the November ballot,
correct,
which is good.
It is good.
Because people will go out and vote.
That's right.
They always go out the presidential year. As you point out, the alternative is if this doesn't pass, and everybody's been down the road before, I can remember, I love your high school. Your high school is just like a college campus up there.
It is a gorgeous facility.
But that was a long time coming. It didn't fly the first time around.
It did not.
But you revised the bond referendum, went back, and you built that mecca up there that really is a showcase.
Well, I think it serves as a testament to how much the community does support public education in York.
Right.
I mean, they really are supporters of our system.
And that was when the population of York was much smaller than it is now.
Correct.
Which is good. So the alternative, again, factually, because I can't put you on the record saying you support this. She supports it. Of course she does. You would have to go to portables? Back to portables.
Yeah. So if this doesn't pass, we would definitely be looking at increased class sizes. We would potentially be looking at learning cottages, portables, whatever you want to call them, and certainly decentralized early childhood services. We really think there's some benefit to bringing our early childhood students into one setting.
Explain what that means, if you would.
Certainly. Right now, we have four-year-old programs and a couple of three-year-old programs in our elementary schools. And they operate differently. In those programs, it's a play-based approach. Mm-hmm. You're not testing the students like you do in every other grade level. You are orienting them in a social setting, teaching them social norms, behaviors, how to play, how to get along, how to read, how to recognize numbers. And those teachers are often isolated from the rest of the school because their schedule is so very different, what they're doing is so very different, and they're only two in a building, so they don't have somebody to plan with. By centralizing those services and bringing them to all together in one building, we have a community of learners, both students and adults.
Sure.
One of our biggest tenets in the district is a commitment to continuous learning. And we really feel like that could strengthen that program and allow us to provide more opportunities for four-year-olds. Right now, if those two programs fail at a school, we can't bring extra children in if they don't qualify from an income basis, because they're income-based programs right now.
Right.
If we centralize them, we can offer more opportunities for more children to be able to participate.
So in round numbers, I mean, how many kids are in these programs now?
So currently in our four-year-old program, there are two programs in every school, so about 200 kids, 180, 200 there.
Jeez.
And then in your special ed program, our preschool disabilities program, we currently have two, and they're at capacity, so you're looking at another 50 kids there. And then we run our Montessori program. We have two classes of Montessori, 3, 4, and 5, and those are 25 apiece, so you're another 50 kids. So it would make a nice small school if we consolidated it into one building.
So the focus right now is on the upcoming referendum.
That's correct.
And you basically, I mean, you and the school board, have done what you can do.
We have.
It's now into the Citizens Committee, which is Yes for York Schools, and they're off and running.
Yes, sir.
Their job is to spread the faith.
We're spreading yards. Facts, they spread faith. That's a great way to put it, Manny.
Oh, my goodness gracious. And that, you know, I never have quite understood why, if the school district votes in favor of doing this thing, why can't they go out and promote it? But the law is the law. I got it. All right. $90 million.
Mm-hmm.
Now, have you built into that what's going on here with all these cost increases that we've all been experiencing for everything?
We have. We've been working with a group that is helping us get our heads around what it will cost to build a school. That's why we know it won't come close to doing two schools.
Right.
We're hoping to do the renovation and the build of the middle school. And in terms of the cost to the taxpayer, on a $100,000 home, it would be a $36 increase per year. If you're home,
$3 a month.
Yeah.
That'll be easy sell. It ought to be an easy sell. But we all know, we've seen it happen every school district.
Absolutely. I did take the time to meet with I have a student advisory council, some kids I meet with at the high school, because several of them are already 18 or will be 18 before November. And one of the seniors looked at me after the presentation and he said, "Well, that's easy. I'm worth $36. And I thought, wow, that's really a powerful way to put that.
That's exactly right. Well, he's probably worth, he or she is worth more than that, because trying to find a $100,000 home anymore is very difficult. So
absolutely.
Let's just say double that.
That's
72
right.
bucks, $6 a month, right?
Right. Exactly.
A buck a week, a buck and a half a week. Pretty good. So, all right, off and running with that. Talk to me about where you all are with recruiting teachers. You've been okay? Have you been struggling?
We're very fortunate. We are 100% staffed. We have no certified teaching vacancies at all. We always have a constant rotation within our food service department, our bus drivers, custodial staff. So there's some vacancies there, but we have no certified vacancies right now.
No vacancies. Talk to me about your calendar. Your school calendar,
mm-hmm.
and how that's going.
Actually, we have had a lot of support for it. We're running on a modified balance calendar. It brought teachers back the very end of July, students back the 1st of August. and we'll finish up right around the Labor Day holiday. So basically what used to be an 8-week summer is now a 6-week summer. Mm-hmm. And those 2 weeks, one was put in October, it will be our October intercession, and one was put in February, and it will be our February intercession. They've been very productive for us. We use them to reach children who may need some remediation or extra support. So we use the 2 intercession weeks with kids that would have normally gone to summer school. So instead of waiting until summer school, we're able to provide help after the first 9 weeks and after the third 9 weeks.
But it also gives the teachers a break.
It gives the teachers a break, and they appreciate it immensely.
I bet they do.
Another benefit to it that I really don't know that I realized until we enacted it, I've had several families that have said they're now able to travel to do holiday trips because the cost of the trip is so much less in the fall and spring than it is in the summer. So it's benefited all the way around.
You know, it's interesting to me when you think about raising kids. You may have 2 in the family, 3 in the family, whatever the case is, and you know the challenges that presents. Imagine being in a classroom with, 20, 25, or average, whatever it is, and dealing with all that day in and day out. I would think you'd need a break.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I'd need more than a break. I can tell you that.
Well, I'll tell you, we have some phenomenal teachers, and they put everything into what they're doing. And it was their leadership. Actually, we have a teacher forum that's made up of former teachers of the year. Right. They developed the calendar. They were the ones that brought forth the recommendation.
And now everybody wants to get into this. It makes a lot of sense. In terms of salaries, you all have had to follow what's going on everywhere else in the state and the country. You had to raise the salaries. Where are you now?
We're at $50,050. We are above the state minimum.
$50,050. Okay.
Correct.
That's a good number.
Well, we wanted, we were trying to inch out some neighbors, try to reach for a higher salary.
Right.
The way the salary schedule is structured now, there is a state minimum, and you can pay above it. Once you go up, you can't go back down. So we feel pretty good. Each employee, there's not an employee in the district that did not receive a raise this year.
Oh, good.
So we're very, very proud of that. So as we adjusted the certified scale, we also adjusted our classified scales, and we gave a cost of living increase. It takes everybody, all of us, the teachers, the assistants, the bus drivers, the cafeteria. We consider all of us educators, and we all have to be working together for the benefit of our students.
Speaking of bus drivers, were you able to get enough of them?
We are. We are. We have a new transportation director, Daphne McNeely. She's doing a phenomenal job, and while we could certainly always hire a few more, we are running full routes and have requested more buses from the State Department.
So. Good for you. Now, what you need to get, you need somebody to fulfill the request of fully funding what the state of South Carolina is supposed to give you.
Absolutely.
For salaries. Because
Absolutely.
They say the state minimum is, $45,000, $46,000, and then they only give you whatever, 2/3 of that or something, and you got to make up the rest of it. What do legislators say to you when you ask them about that?
Well, the new funding formula, the way it is structured now, they have a total allocation to education, and then our portion of that is based upon our number of teachers, number of students. They fund to a ratio of, it's like 1 to 12 or something like that. I can't remember the exact ratio they're funding to right now. But they include guidance counselors and everybody, so it's a little misleading. I don't want anybody to think that there's 12 kids in a classroom. That is just how the state has structured the funding. We're super fortunate that our chief financial officer, our assistant superintendent for finance and operations, Amy Hagner, is exceptional. In fact, she was school business official of the year last year. And Senator Peeler has reached out to her just this past week and asked her to serve on an advisory council to make financial reporting across the state more transparent.
Good.
So we're extremely excited to have a seat at that table.
Well, if anybody can get you the money, Harvey's the man. Any doubt about that?
Absolutely. He is a supporter of the district, and we really appreciate him.
All right. We've got to take our mid-program break. Remind everybody that you are listening to Straight Talk live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, relax here with Founders, and by Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Good Pharmacy is with us, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Now, Kelly is a veteran of Straight Talk, so she knows what we're about to do. We prepare fresh subs and saddles right inside of this wonderful building here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. P people keep coming back day after day after day after day after day. Why? Because of the magical formula that we're going to put out there for people who have not been in here. And that formula is at the count of three. One, two, three. Slice, slice, slice. Slice.
Garden, 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 garden.
Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI and CN2.
Have you ever wondered why so many people enjoy dining at Substation 2?
Love the bread. Number 19's the best.
Fresh, delicious bread.
It's fresh.
The food is really good, and it's a great price.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
We hope you'll choose The Nest to deliver your newest bundle of joy. The Nest is a new labor and delivery recovery postpartum unit at Piedmont Medical Center Fort Mill, working to make your pregnancy and childbirth experience as easy and enjoyable as possible. Our physicians and nursing staff at Piedmont are dedicated to giving expectant mothers the maternity care they want and need. Learn more at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care, because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
We know the type. You like to start early, finish late, make lemon squares, and make payments to the college fund from anywhere in the house. We know you rely on Comporium for the things you rely on most, like a view of the backyard. That's just a bunny, and hundreds of channels to watch, whenever you want. So you may think of us as just your internet company, but we're more like the I didn't know they could do all that company. Comporium, always ready.
Relax this summer with a promotional rate on select travel purchases with your Founders Federal Credit Union credit card. Now through August 31st, get 6.99% APR for 6 months on qualifying purchases, including airfare, hotels, restaurants, and cruise lines. Don't let interest rates slow you down this summer. Visit foundersfcu.com/travel to learn more. On March 1st, 2025, the promotional APR reverts to the effective APRs previously disclosed. Call 800-845-1614 for details about credit costs and terms. Membership qualification required.
There are lots of reasons why people like dining at Substation 2.
A good deal for a delicious sandwich.
Quality of the food. I get what I want. It tastes great every time.
Hit the spot, definitely. It's amazing.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2. Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Kelly Cox is with us today. She's the superintendent of the York School District. She's been there for almost 6 years now. And lots going on up there. If you are bond referendum dealing with growth, does it sound familiar? Well, now it's York's turn. And that's going to be on the ballot come November. It's about a $90 million referendum, but schools have reached capacity and people are saying, we need to do something, which is a refreshing change. Because, you know, I keep thinking about, and I know you probably don't want to get into this, but I think about neighboring Chester County. They have all the school districts around here are in the most dire need of improvements. And the voters just haven't been there. They just keep turning them down, turning them down, turning them down. And that is not good for the county, trying to grow and grow in a good, positive way. Okay, so how are the kids doing in school? How are they doing academically?
We, report cards have not come out yet, the state report card, but we have been looking at our data and analyzing, and we are so proud of the growth that is occurring in our schools. While we may not be quite where we want to be achievement-wise, of the 12 tested areas, we have grown in 10 of the 12. We are moving absolutely in the right direction. You say I've been superintendent for 5 going on 6 years. That's when I took on this role, but I've been in the district since 2014. When I came to the district, I came as a principal. And for all of this time, we've had this unusual thing that we couldn't quite get our finger on, where when our students were coming out of first grade into second, at the beginning of the second grade year, there was always a dip in their performance, and we attributed it to, for the first time, they're having to read the assessment instead of it being read to them. Mm-hmm. I say all of that to say this year, for the first time, we've corrected that dip.
Good.
And the kids are holding their own as first of the year coming out of the summer students in second grade. That says to me that we have the curriculum where the curriculum needs to be and the teachers teaching to the level of rigor that we need to be teaching. So we're super excited about that. I know that's a very isolated story with second grade, but we're seeing that trending across the entire system.
Yeah, if you can start to see the growth in the second, third grades, you can see what's going to happen at the other end.
Absolutely. Really absolutely. Our goal, our number one goal as a district, we only have three goals, and the number one goal is about readiness. We say it is to be ready. What does that mean? To be ready for your next grade, to be ready for the test, to be ready for the next day. But ultimately and most importantly, when you walk across the stage at graduation, to be ready for life. Our goal isn't to get you across the stage. We can do that. That can happen. We want you to be ready when you walk across that stage.
So before we run out of time, last time I had I've forgotten who the guests were. We were talking about something about the agricultural needs and the agricultural arena, which has been something that's been talked about for generations around here. And they surprised me by saying that thing is moving forward.
It is.
Because they worked out something. The York School District stepped up and said, look, here's 5 acres of land. Use it.
Okay. So I'm really excited to share this because I want to make sure, particularly as we're going into a referendum, that people are very, very clear on this. The referendum has absolutely nothing to do with the ag arena. We saw a need for an agricultural arena where our FFA kids and 4-H kids could have a home court to show off and display and practice their skills in front of their family and friends like every other extracurricular team has. Started with some kids coming to us and say, hey, we have to travel to Union and we have to travel to Clemson and we have to travel to Chester and all of these different places. Can we not have something in York? So we started talking internally. Our education foundation said, yes, this is something we can get behind. We reached out to Clover. Clover wanted to partner with us on this. And then 4-H wanted to partner. So the three entities have come together. We're utilizing some land that's out in Hickory Grove across the street from Hickory Grove Elementary School. And we are in the process of designing this agricultural arena. The total project is estimated to be right at $5.5 million now. And we have already raised $4.2 million. The entire thing is being fundraised. There are no district dollars are going toward this project.
Jeez. Is that all contributions or are there some grants in there?
What? There's grants, contributions, and the legislator has been very supportive. Senator Peeler and Representative Moss
Good.
Have been super supportive of this project.
Well, you know, I think you need to go knock on the door of the York County Council because they've talked about an agricultural arena. I'll bet you at least 10 years, could be 15 or 20. Just ask C.W. Sin, he'll tell you.
Yep.
And they have already invested at least $50,000, could be $75,000 in various studies trying to get this thing off the ground. And then it just kind of died. And so now you got a real live entity and you're very close to hitting a home run. Go ask them for the balance.
Well, we have actually a meeting scheduled where they're going to walk out and show them the land and give a tour, and they're asking us what they can do to support the project.
Good.
So we're very thankful for
that
partnership.
Well, that's good. All right. Well, Kelly, you have passed your assessment here. You've done very well.
Wonderful.
We will be sending a written,
we'll transcribe summary, and send it to the
board. A written summary
to the board
and tell them to keep you on board there. You've done a good job.
Well, as you close out, I do want to publicly thank the board. In this day and time when boards can be very contentious, we have an excellent board of 7 individuals who are committed to doing what's in the best interest of kids.
Good. Kelly Cox, superintendent of the York School District, our guest this afternoon on our Straight Talk program, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax Here with Founders, and by Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. One more time, for all those people out there who need to be inside here getting a fresh sub or salad, we want to tell you why you should be in here. Well, the reasons are in the white letters right here that we're all going to say together at the count of three. 1, 2, 3. Slice, slice, slice.
Garden, garden, garden.
Have yourself a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.